I am Lambros and I am a water seller. I started working when I was very young, so that I could help my father. I did not go to school, education is for the rich people only, my father says. We woke up at dawn today, as we do every day. We filled our barrel at the spring, loaded it on our donkey and headed to Athens from Marousi where we live. 2 hours on the road, but today it didn't feel long at all. I kept turning over in my mind again and again what I had heard whispered yesterday in the barracks by the cavalry of the Bavarian officers. While my father was filling their tank, I was feeding Spiros, our donkey. Without intending to, I overheard them whisper about the big events that were about to happen. I only heard scattered words, but I realized that they were worried because a big riot was being prepared. The Greek military personnel were furious with the king and his accompanying foreigners. I also heard people talk about Makrigiannis, whom my father admired so much that he was with them, but also about some other big ones who had secretly promised to help them. When I asked my father what all this was about, he told me to shush and stay out because I would find myself in great trouble. I did not speak again, but from that moment on, I could not take it out of my mind. I was looking forward to our today's route. I knew that we would deliver water to the cafes, where for a long time I have heard all the discussions about politics. I have seen and heard a lot over the years. After all, no one pays attention to their words when they are in front of a small water seller boy. Lately, the conversations have been heating up and the quarrels end in rows. Recently, two young people who disagreed about the political situation picked a fight and the gendarmes came to separate them. The roads today, after yesterday's rain, were muddy. It took us a little longer to get there, but we finally reached Katsikadika, the neighborhood close to the palace. It's us who bring water to this neighborhood, since the water sellers have divided the neighborhoods. The men are missing at this time. They are all shepherds and go with their goats to other neighborhoods to distribute milk. I rang the cowbell and the women came out the doors carrying their cans. Father was filling their cans with water from our barrel, a penny a can, and I was throwing our proceeds into my pouch that I had tied around my waist. In recent days, fewer and fewer housewives come to the door when the cowbell rings. Poor people live in this neighborhood, forcing themselves to make a living selling the milk of their livestock. They even cut down on their water supplies. Many fill out their cans and metal buckets only on Saturdays. I do not like that at all. I may not have learned to read and write, but I have eyes and I can see. With our donkey we go around all the neighborhoods. I know Athens like the back of my hand. The other day we went through the Queen's Garden and I was left with my mouth open staring at it. What a garden! Just like a forest, with some very tall trees almost reaching the sky. You can't find them anywhere else in our country. They are brought from abroad, they say, to remind the queen of the palaces of her homeland. But most of all, I wondered where they find all this water needed to water them. As this is my job, I know just how many tins these poor people in Katsikadika would really fill with all this water. But the father says not to care about these things, I should just mind my own business. Water delivery ended late in the afternoon. After a short break to lunch on bread and olives and to let Spiros rest, there came the time I had been waiting for. It was the time to deliver water to cafes. We started from the neighborhood of Syri. There, all the cafes where only Greeks frequented were gathered. Most of them are elderly people, dressed in the long traditional skirts called fustaniles, or in islanders' culottes, wearing tsarousha on their feet. Many of them were in fact fighters who fought against the Turks in the independence war. The debates, drowning in clouds of smoke from cigarettes and hookahs, almost always revolved around one subject, the great idea when the rest of the Greeks would finally be liberated from the Turks and the unredeemed areas would unite with the new Greek state. Still, I was looking forward to our last stop, the Cafe Greece. I knew that if there was something big to happen, that was the place to learn about it. This shop was opened by an Italian. All the eminent Greeks and foreigners frequent there. I even heard them say that the king and queen often pass by, during their walk, to deduce by the applause of the spectators if the people agree with their decisions. We stopped our donkey as always at the back door of the cafe. We did not ring the cowbell here, as it was not right to upset the customers. My father was waiting outside and I entered the store to call Nicholas to bring the metal buckets out. Here we would empty our barrel, 10 buckets were filled at a time. After the work was finished and we were paid, Nicholas always offered my father a coffee cooked on embers with plenty of cream and a vanilla scoop in icy water for myself. Today, however, I did not sit down to enjoy its sweetness. While my father was talking to Nicholas, I slipped into the cafe. In the first room, as usual, foreign diplomats were gathered, travelers and Greek aristocrats too, in European Frankish clothes. Some of them were gathered around a large table and were hitting some balls with a long stick. It was a game they played in Europe, as Nicholas had told me, called billiards. I hurried over and entered the second room. The guests there were only Greeks, most of them young. The atmosphere was tense. A young man had stood up and was giving a passionate speech. "How long, my brothers, will we tolerate arbitrariness? How long will we be silent and accept the oppression of the monarchy? Now is the time. Stand up against it." Another man, a little older, disagreed, "But what are you saying? They will send the army out in the streets, there will be a bloodshed." "The army is with us. Colonel Kalagis has reached a secret agreement with Makrigiannis and Metaxas, the leader of the Russian party. Everything is arranged." "I have great news," a third man rushed panting into the cafe. "The gendarmerie has surrounded Makrigiannis' house. Kalagis incited the army. One battalion is heading to Makrigiannis' house to free him, others are heading to the Mint and the National Bank." "Let's go, what are we waiting for?" the first man shouted. "History is being written today, and we are the ones who will write it. Everyone in the palace." They all rushed out shouting cries like, "Long live Greece, long live the nation." Without thinking, I followed them. I tightened my pouch on myself and ran with the crowd on the muddy streets. More people were joining in from the alleys, adding their voices to ours. We arrived at the palace. It was already dark and the brand new illuminated palace looked so impressive. The sound of the clopping of the horses mingled with the voices of the growing crowd. I sat as far aside as I could and watched. The army soon arrived. There were thousands of soldiers. Colonel Kalagis stands out proudly riding his horse. I had never seen him before, but I heard my neighbors whispering to each other that it was him. It was from them that I heard about the arrival of politicians, militants and foreigners. Everyone was there. The battle cry spread fast. "Constitution, we want a constitution," shouted the crowd and the voices echoed all over the night attic sky.